Now, let me tell you how I ever landed where I'm going to be talking today. We had two Sundays here in a row where Bill Gaither and his cheer band was here at one Sunday night. And then last Sunday night was, we had a second Sunday night, was not last Sunday night, where we had our big weekend breaking free. That's our students. They have this big discipleship weekend, and they always bring in a speaker for that. And this year the speaker stayed over for Sunday night. And so that meant two Sunday nights we were doing something different. Well, that gave me an opportunity. I asked John, I said, Ben, you're not preaching those Sunday nights, if you could preach those two Sunday mornings. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to share this story with you. I haven't mentioned this to the church yet. I will if I can remember it. But I'm sure the members thought pastor's just taking a rest. Well, they were dead wrong. They were dead wrong, as they often are. I wasn't preaching two Sunday mornings, but what it did for me is it gave me 2 weeks to work on not getting up the sermons, but what I would be preaching like through Easter and then what I was going to be doing after Easter. You know, when you're just constantly preparing sermons, one of the downsides of that is you don't have time just to get alone with the Lord and think and pray about what would be something I need to be preaching in the Easter month and then the months after that. And so it gave me a great 2 weeks to lay out some things. Now the sermons aren't prepared, but at least like a road map, I know where I'm going. Now in doing that, I thought about a lot of things, and one of those is what I'm going to be talking to you about today. And one of the things I thought about is this, and you'll say the same for your life. I want to give a testimony today. I have lived a blessed life. Now, I'm not checking out today, okay, to my knowledge. I'm still living a blessed life. But during that two-week period of time, as I thought about things and thought about people and just thought about things the Bible teaches, I thought about, you know, and we look, I think all of us would probably say, I certainly would, that I've experienced things like growing up, I never would have imagined, really, and so have you. There have been blessings in my life that growing up, I never would even have thought about those kind of blessings. And so I just want to say, and I think we would all kind of say the same thing, we have lived a blessed life. Could I have an amen to that? I mean, really have. You know, I was thinking about my life a lot growing up. You know, I grew up in rural Georgia. That's why I have the Georgia, you know, whatever it is. It's been refined. It's been Texanized or whatever you call it a little bit. But I just grew up in a little small part of rural Georgia. And, you know, we had a very modest home, had two bedrooms, the whole house. You know, in the early years of my life, there was no television. Like, you know, and then we got a TV. You know, we had one television. And we had one car. People today, you know, your maid comes in a car today. But I mean, well, we grew up as one car. Many of you, that's how you kind of grew up too. And, you know, I was been thinking about like, you know, like the Holy Land, for example. I grew up in church, always hearing about Jerusalem and Calvary and Golgotha and the Garden Tomb. And growing up, I never even dreamed that one day, you know, I've been there like 15 different times, or 16, whatever it is. I'm mixed up on that too. But we've all been places growing up we would have never, ever imagined. So during my 2 weeks of doing some planning, praying, thinking, I began to think about my own life and how my life has been so very blessed. Now, the two of the areas would be my life has been blessed not only in places, I mean, you know, like the Paul's journey trips that we've been on, all those, you know, we read in the Bible all these places, you know, like Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth. I've been to these places. I never dreamed. It never crossed my mind one day I'd actually go to Patmos and go in the cave where John supposedly had the vision to write the book of the Revelation. But, you know, it's not just been places. It has been people. I have truly been blessed in my life, and I think you would say the same thing, but I've really been blessed with people that have come into my life through my life. And not all of them have been ministers and professors. And I mean, I've been blessed that way too. But I've been blessed just by good old people. And one of those people, I was reading in my Proverbs recently. Well, it would have been last month. And I ran across this verse in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. I want you to look at it with me. And here's what the verse says. It says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Now, I have a lot of Bibles. You just, as a preacher, you just wind up with a lot of Bibles. But in almost all of my Bibles that I've owned since 1981, by that verse, there's a man's name that you've never heard of. And of 1981, I'd never heard of him either. But I have that man's name. In fact, in my Bible, there are several places where I jot people's names down. Because as I read that verse, I think, you know, I know somebody that you could just put their name beside that verse and it would fit, it would work. It reminds me, helps me kind of remember. Well, when I went to be pastor of First Baptist Church, Sulphur Springs, Texas, that's in Hopkins County, Texas. And back then, it was the dairy capital of Texas. Now, it's not that anymore today. 500 and something dairies were in Hopkins County when I was pastor there. Today, I don't know what the number would be, but it would be a greatly reduced number from that. But be that as it may, there was a man and a woman in that church named Philip and Edith Smith. Philip and Edith Smith. They actually didn't live in Sulphur Springs. In fact, most of the members of First Baptist Church Sulphur Springs don't live in Sulphur Springs. The city limits never grew. It just still sits there. But everybody lives outside of the city limits. You know, it wouldn't be very far, but the city just never did annex all that. But out about 3 or 4 miles on this huge, beautiful land, there was a house, just an old wooden house, and in that house lived Philip and Edith Smith. And they were members of First Baptist Church in Sulphur Springs, and they were very faithful to come, even though they had grown old in years. But be that as it may, one year while I was there, Philip and Edith were celebrating their 70th or their 75th, and I don't remember which it was, wedding anniversary, and word got out that somebody had written Paul Harvey. Y'all remember Paul Harvey? Y'all remember Paul Harvey? Okay. And he used to, on his radio program, he would mention people's names. Like if he was still around, he might mention Conrad and Aretha's name. He'd say, today I want to congratulate Mr. and Ms. So-and-so. And I don't know what his age, the marriage years had to be, but you had to be married a long time for Paul Harvey to mention your name. And he was going to mention their name. And so word got out. And some of the folks that knew Philip Meadeth, they said, you know, we ought to go out to their house that day and take a little cake, and we'll invite the preacher to go out there, and he likes Philip Meadeth, and they like him, and we'll be there when Paul Harvey calls their name on the radio. That'd be pretty big, you know. So we went, and it was a sweet time. But be that as it may, Paul Harvey called their name, congratulated them, and we had the little anniversary cake, and we had a little prayer over them, and it was a sweet thing. And people, wasn't a lot of folks there, but they were a little house full, and they all kind of went away. And I visited Philip and Edith, often. They would always bless me. But when people got away, I said, Philip, tell me, how does a man stay married to a woman this many years, and a woman stay married to a man? I said, this is just incredible. And he said, well, there are three things. Now, Philip, he wore old overalls, you know, coveralls. He said, well, three things, preacher. I mean, it was not like he even had to think. It was just like a machine gun. That's a good question. He said, well, here's the secret to the whole thing. Number one, marry a good woman. Well, I thought, well, now that makes sense. Number two, I would have never guessed number two. I've never forgotten it. He said, love your job. I said, Philip, what's loving your job having to do with staying married? He said, well, if you're unhappy at work, you'll be unhappy at home. He said, you need to find something you do that you like to do. I thought, well, that makes sense. And then he said, preacher number three, don't throw logs on the fire. I said, what do you mean? He said, you've been married long enough, you ought to know. I figured it out when he said that. And he began to talk, and he said, look, get your Bible. I said, well, Philip, I didn't bring a Bible. I brought an anniversary cake. He said, well, I'll get mine. He reached over and picked up his old Bible and turned to this verse in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. It says, you know, don't throw wood. It says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Now, all of us know, you know, if you back when you build fires, not much of that around here anymore, but we've all been there, and probably all of us have built some fires when you throw logs on there. But the truth is, after a while, the logs kind of burn up. And if you don't throw some more logs on the fire, well, finally, it'll just go out. But if you'll, just about the time you think it's going out, if you'll pitch another log on there, it'll reignite kind of in just a little bit. Well, you know, that's how it is with our words. Don't throw logs on the fire. And what I want to talk about today is not just marriage. I mean, all of y'all have got that figured out by now, or you have surrendered, you'll never figure it out. But how about there are many relationships outside of marriage, and it's the same principle. In all of our dealings, much of that is done with words, and the Bible has so much to say about words. Now, I want you to turn back, if you will, in your Bible. Turn back with me to page 573, your Proverbs 16. If you'll just turn back, I want you to look at a few little verses, and I'll give you this page number, but the rest of them are so close together, we can just work by the scripture. If you'll turn back to Proverbs, I told you wrong. Turn back to page 569. I told you wrong. You'll be back in Proverbs chapter 13. Let's do it that way. Just look back with me in Proverbs chapter 13. And when you get in Proverbs chapter 13, look down at verse number 3. It says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. And then, if you just look at the very next verse, he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That verse will almost put the fear of God in you. Now, turn with me in chapter 16. It'll just be a page or two more. Over in chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and look with me in verse number 24. Proverbs 16, 24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sometimes to the soul, a sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones. And then you're in 16, go to chapter 17. We're right there in the neighborhood. In chapter 17, verse 14, it says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Talking about throwing logs on the fire. You're in chapter 17. Look down in verse 27. It says, he who has knowledge spares his words, but a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. And then in chapter 18, the very next chapter, in verses 6 and 7, says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, his lips are the snares of his soul. Then if you look down in verse 21, there's a verse in James that says about the same thing. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And oh, how true that is. And then just turn over in chapter 21. It'll just be a page or so in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 21, and look down in verse 23. It says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And you know, we could just keep going on, but go with me to chapter 25. Let's look at one more. I'd like to look at more, but time won't let us. But look with me in chapter 25, and look with me in verse 11. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, if we had time, there are many more. James has so much to say about our words. But the fact of the matter is probably nothing gets us in more messes than our words. And we don't mean them to do that. We don't get up every day saying, boy, I hope my words today get me in a lot of trouble. But the fact of the matter is, wise we would be if we just, would kind of think before we say things. And so what I want to do today, I want to just use our little time we have to give you four questions to ask yourself before you say something. And I try to do this. Now, Dottie, I was telling Dottie today, she said, what are you going to be talking about noon? And I told her. And I said, are you coming? She said, I don't think so. It's my wife, okay? But she had to do some other things. But then she told me what her mother said about this subject. I said, well, what did your mother say? And she said, well, my mother said, before you say anything, always count to 10. That's what Dottie's mother told her. And what I did was, I threw logs on the fire. I said, well, your mother didn't follow her own advice, did she? I'm just fessing up. See, I was just walking out the door. I didn't mean a thing by that. But she said her mother told her to count to 10 before you say something. And I just, you know, we call it off the top of our head. It's really out of the bottom of our brain. I said, well, your mom didn't pay her. You didn't follow her own advice, did she? Well, you know, out the door I went. But anyway, Dottie will, I'll pay for that. But anyway, a thing like that could create a real problem. And thank goodness our marriage is stronger than that. But so many times I worry. And so, you know, maybe you probably have something. The problem is many times we don't have time to think what we're going to say. It just, you get put in a situation and you can't say, time out, let me go to my prayer closet. And sometimes we speak. But let me just mention some things real quickly. Number one, and I've heard this all my life, and I need to follow it better. Here's what it is. Before you say something, ask this question. Does it even need to be said? My mother used to say to me when she'd hear me preach, son, you don't have to tell the people everything you know in the same sermon. She said, you know, you'll be preaching other sermons. You know, save some of that. You know, well, mom was right on that. But like, does it need, you know, if we all operated by that, there'd be a lot of silence, would there not? Because we just say a lot of stuff, it doesn't really need to be said, you know. And I won't go down. She was telling me about something. We were in a grocery store and she read on this tabloid. And of course, you can just about guarantee yourself everything in the tabloids is not true. That's just, I don't know how they get away with that. But they had this most slanderous thing about a TV personality, what he supposedly had done and why he had been fired. Number one, he hadn't been fired. And number two, what he supposedly had happened had not happened. But for 2 weeks, we've been hearing all this mess. Well, does it even need to be said? That's a good thing to ask. And I know a lot of times, I'll be in meetings and all, and that's something I listen, I think, do I need to say something or do I just need to not say something? Well, that's a good question. Number two, is it true? You say, sure it is. I read it in the paper. No, I'm serious. You know, before we tell things, we really need to know that the things are actually true. You know, because sometimes even honest, sincere people, not meaning to be slanderers or anything like that, will give you information and it just isn't right. And so I go by that principle, you know. Sometimes people say, Pastor so-and-so had a death in the family. Would you tell the church? No. Not till I be sure they're dead. I did that one time. I'm not an idiot. I expressed sympathy to family whose loved ones, I was told, had gone to be the Lord. Not true. Is the thing actually true? You know, we owe it to ourselves, I think, to have enough integrity to know that to the best of our knowledge, what we're saying is true. Now, number three thing, will good come from what I say? Is good going to come from this? Boy, that'd quieten me down a lot. You know, that's an honest question. I mean, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that our words are to build up. Our words are to build up and not tear down. And so, you know, is it true? Well, that's a great question that we need to ask ourselves. And then, you know, is it true? If I say it, is it going to be something that not only needs to be said is true, but will good come from it? And then that great verse in Ephesians, will it build up? Now, you know, those are just four little simple things. I'm not suggesting you even have a problem with this. Maybe I'm the only one in the room. What do we say? So-and-so puts their foot in their mouth. Well, I wish that were true, because if I would put my foot in my mouth, I wouldn't be throwing logs on the fire. I should have just walked out the door and said, when Dottie told me what her mother said, I should have just said something different than what I said, okay. Maybe it said nothing. It didn't even require, I mean, she just made a statement. And now, please don't pray for me this afternoon. We're fine, okay. I mean, oh, I'll do way worse before the day's over. I mean, I am an expert on this. So I want to encourage you to know this. In relationships, just don't throw logs on the fire. I'll never forget Philip Smith. He just said, preacher, don't throw logs on the fire. And that's great, great advice.